Yeah, it was a recruitment company. So we set up a recruitment agency. We literally knew nobody in the country. And we were just like, let's just start a business. And it was very competitive, Ireland, back then, because the Celtic Tiger was roaring. All these big international companies were moving there for tax reasons. Like, you could literally sneeze and place somebody in a job in Ireland at that point. It was just crazy. I think there were 80 recruitment companies just in Cork alone, and we were like a new one coming in.
Well, hello, lovely listeners. Today I have the wonderful Sam Rathling. Sam came into my world about 3 months ago-ish. And so as some of you know that listen to the show regularly, I'm a coach and I am building up my business. And at the moment, very heavily concentrating on women that are settling in their life. And Sam has many strings to her bow. One of them is Pipeline 44, which is an organization that I've invested in terms of helping me grow my business. But Sam actually is the UK's leading expert in Sales Navigator and LinkedIn and social selling. And on her profile, she says that there's been over 168 million generated in new business for her clients, and that is absolutely unbelievable. Sam is also an international speaker, named by Yahoo Finance as a top 10 global LinkedIn expert to follow. Amazing. And she's sat in front of me right now. And she's also author of best-selling books, LinkedIn Bound and Linked Outbound. Linked Outbound has just come out, hasn't it? So I've downloaded it, but I haven't got around to, excuse me, because I'm in the middle of a book at the moment. When that's finished, that's my next one that I'm going to read. So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice.
And you also work in corporate massively. So you're helping small businesses and entrepreneurs, and you're also in corporate. Am I allowed to say the client you told us about yesterday? No?
It'll be going on the news feed today. So it will be.
Well, this isn't going to be out for a few weeks. So yeah. So you bagged a MasterCard, which was absolutely unbelievable. And I know that there's loads to Sam's story about the trials and tribulations over the years. And Sam is also a single mum to 3 children. Is that right?
That's right.
And I'm a single mum. So there's a lot of resonance. And it was just such an honour that she said yes, because this woman is busy. Very busy.
No, I was delighted to get the invite, so I'm very happy to be here, Mel. Thank you.
Yeah, and I really want to learn a little bit more about you. So welcome, Sam. Thank you so much.
Well, I am super excited about our chat and, looking forward to it.
Cool. So I always love to hear a little bit about people's backstories and what led you to where you are right now. And I know you've had ups and downs along the way, and I know that you were in recruitment for a long time, so that bit I do know. And I also know that you are many months into sobriety right now. And that always amazes me, because it's something I've been talking about for years and haven't had the courage to do yet. So I would love to hear more about little Sam and sort of what your aspirations were and what brought you to recruitment. And then how did that all turn into what you're now doing, and anything you feel called to share along the way?
Okay, perfect. So little Sam was... in many schools, because my dad was actually a bank manager and he was very good at his job. And every time he got promoted or moved to a different branch in NatWest, we moved house. So I have been networking since I was 5 years old. I've had to turn strangers into friends from a very young age. And I think that's where I got a lot of my skills around what we would now call networking and relationship building, which is obviously a big part of what I now do. But if I look back over the years, that probably had a lot to do with it. It was horrible at the time because it was hard to, I went to 6 different schools before I was 16. Moving school at age 12 was never easy, moving secondary schools, you know. So I was bullied quite a lot in school. I was always the new girl, and I did find it quite hard during those kind of early years. But now I look back and I think actually that is probably what led me partially to what I now do. I always kind of had an entrepreneurial flair. Like, I set up my first business when I was 16, when I was in college. with my mate Dan. I set up a little stationery business to undercut the college shop that was selling stationery. So Dad helped me like do the P&L and the budgets and like the stock and all that kind of stuff. So I've always had a bit of a business kind of mind. I mean, he always said like, you're going to run a business one day, you're going to be an entrepreneur. I was planning to go to university. I got into university and then about 5 days before I was due to head off with the car packed and everything, I just went, I don't think this is the right move for me. And I remember my dad going, you need to explain this to me, because he was like, I was the only one out of all of the kids that they had that was likely to kind of go into education properly and go to university. And he made me sit in a room for 4 hours with a blank sheet of paper and write all the reasons why I was making this decision. And he said, look, if I understand why and I understand your decision, I'll back it and support it. So he said to me, look, I want you to, if you're going to do this, I said, I just want to take a year out. I'm still planning to go, but I just want to take a year out. I don't think it's the right time to go. He thought it was about a boy, but it wasn't. So we agreed that I would take a year out, but in that year, he wanted me to get some work experience that was relevant to whatever career I wanted to do. And I kind of always had a thing for marketing and design, and I was always quite creative. So he said, look, I've got a client in London. They run a marketing agency. Like, I'm going to get you some work experience. So he got me some work experience in this amazing kind of creative agency, small little business. The entrepreneur that ran it was bonkers. He was amazing. He put me into like quite high pressure environment. And after week one, he called me into his office and said, you're brilliant, I want to hire you. I said, have you told Dad it? And he was like, no, but do you want a job? And I was like, yes, I'll take a job. So he was like, I told you to give her 2 weeks work experience, not to give her a job on it. And that was my kind of journey into kind of like having a career. And, you know, we look back on it now and he said, look, actually, that was the best decision you made, not going to university. And because he saw my friends coming out of uni 3 years later and I had like 3 years of marketing experience under my belt. And he was like, that was, you know, it was a good decision. But at the time he was,
he wanted to be proud of his daughter and all of that.
To go and get a degree and blah, all the, you know, go through the system stuff, which I think is rubbish. Like I don't care whether that happens to my kid. Like my son Oscar is straight out of school at 16, has no intention of going to college or university. And I'm okay with that because I know what I was like when I was at that age. So I kind of went into marketing, spent 3 or 4 years in marketing, did really, really well, got promoted loads. And then I met my now ex-husband and he was from Holland. And he said to me, like, my mom wants me to go back to Holland. You fancy like living in the Netherlands? And I thought, well, I've always wanted to live abroad and work abroad. So we actually ended up moving to the Netherlands in 2001. And of course, I couldn't do sales or marketing at that point. So I couldn't do sales, couldn't do marketing because I had no Dutch. So I had to completely flip career. And that's where the recruitment piece came in, because I could do recruitment in international companies in the Netherlands. But I kind of went into kind of food and drink recruitment because that was my background in marketing. So I kind of fell into recruitment. It wasn't like my career plan. It was just circumstances when, yeah, you need to kind of be in the recruitment industry. So had a few different roles there, enjoyed recruitment. It's kind of where I discovered LinkedIn as well, kind of coming full circle. So LinkedIn was born in 2003. I found it about 2004, initially used it for candidate and, you know, finding people for jobs, things like that. And then 2005, we got an opportunity to move to Ireland with my ex-husband's job. Ended up in Ireland at age 28, and I'd always wanted to have my own business by the age of 30, like proper business. And I said to my dad, like, I'm moving to Ireland. I think I'm going to set up my own business. I was 28. It was a couple of years before my 30th birthday. I thought, hey, this is a good time to do it. And he was like, should we like do that together? And I was like, what? You'd move to Ireland? And he's like, yeah, like, I'm looking for my next thing to do. I've got the finance background. You've got sales and marketing. Like, let's do it together. So we ended up going to County Cork, set up a business in a place where we knew nobody, like literally nobody. And I thought, I wonder if I can use my LinkedIn skills, like, to actually find customers. And that's kind of when I really started looking at LinkedIn as a business development tool. So it's still really early, like 2005, LinkedIn was not on most people's radars. But I have been
just recruitment business.
Yeah, it was a recruitment company. So we set up a recruitment agency. We literally knew nobody in the country. And we were just like, let's just start a business. And it was very competitive, Ireland, back then, because the Celtic Tiger was roaring. All these big international companies were moving there for tax reasons. Like, you could literally sneeze and place somebody in a job in Ireland at that point. It was just crazy. I think there were 80 recruitment companies just in Cork alone, and we were like a new one coming in. But, you know, I used my networking skills, business development skills. I got involved in BNI back then. Like, I was very heavily involved in networking. And I just networked like crazy to build the business. And we ended up landing contracts with Amazon, like a multi-million pound contract with Amazon to recruit like 400 people a year for them. We landed some really big contracts. I landed a client in Holland that I'd worked with in the Netherlands, and she was like, we're moving to Dublin. Like, do you want to hire 110 people for us? So like, we had this whole, like, it was mad. It was crazy. And 6 months after moving there and setting up the business, I got pregnant with my first child, Oscar. And I just remember having like 3 days off, having the baby, getting back to my desk, him like being in a bassinet on the desk with me, taking him to all my meetings. Like, I literally had no maternity leave whatsoever. And yeah, it was crazy, but it was good.
Wow.
Yes.
Excuse me. So you were married at this point? You were already married? Yeah.
I got married, moved country, and started a business in 2005. That was three big life things to do in 1 year.
Doesn't surprise me, Sam. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
And so, I just have to say, your dad sounds awesome, by the way.
He is awesome. He's like my best friend. And like, we still chat every day about business. And, you know, he's still very like interested in what I'm doing. He's retired now. He lives in Portugal. You know, we get to hang out every summer, and they are living their best life in the Algarve. So we kind of worked in recruitment together for about 9 years, and then he retired, went to the Algarve, and then I moved on to other things, i.e. the LinkedIn business. So yeah, so but I've lived in the Netherlands, Ireland, then we went to Scotland, then we went to Poland, and then we came back to the UK in 2016. So I've kind of lived and worked in quite a few different places, seen lots of different cultures, had a mad stint in network marketing for a couple of years in between, which was fun. But yeah, no, it's been a journey, that's for sure. I started talking about LinkedIn at a conference in Yorkshire in 2010. So somebody saw how I'd grown my recruitment company, and they were like, would you mind sharing how you've done that, like, on our stage? And I was like, how many people are going to be there? And he was like, about 200. I was like, I've never spoken to more than 10 people in a room before. You want me to go on stage in front of 200 people? He was like, yeah, your story's amazing. It would be brilliant. And I got there, and I remember seeing like who else I was speaking with. And they were all like professional speakers. I was the only one not being paid to speak. Like, I was doing it as a give to the organizer. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, all these people are amazing. And the person before me had gone up there and got like this massive standing ovation. I was like, so scared to go up there. And I just shared like my kind of top 10 tips on like networking online and offline. So it was about 50% about LinkedIn and 50% about kind of networking in general. And I got a standing ovation as well. I was like, oh, this is cool. I want to do this. and at the time, I still had my recruitment business. So it was kind of like a side thing for me. But I thought, actually, like, I quite enjoy talking about LinkedIn. And from that conference, he was like, I'm doing the same thing in India. Like, do you want to travel to India and do this for 600 people? I'm like, what? Like, you want to take me to India to go and speak to 600 entrepreneurs? He's like, yeah, this is an amazing presentation. Like, everyone needs to hear it. So I ended up just kind of getting all these different opportunities off the back of that, which was awesome. And that's when I fell in love with being on a stage and sharing my knowledge and just switching light bulbs on in a room. That's kind of how I describe speaking.
Wow. So when you moved to Scotland and Poland as well, was that still with the same recruitment business? No.
I did recruitment at that stage. That was my network marketing stint. So I had teams like all over Europe. I had a downline of about 1,500 people in a health business. Like, it was crazy. It was so good. But again, I got to travel to America and Canada and like all these places. So anything I put my mind to, I kind of excel at. Like, most people go into network marketing and like they don't make any money. Like, I went into network marketing and retired my husband. Like, I was making five figures a month at one point in network marketing. The company crashed in the US. Like, it was no fault of my own that we
ended. Which company was it?
It was a company called Vi. So they had this thing called the 90-day challenge. And I was like I'd lost basically 60 pounds in weight in about 6 months. And everyone was asking me how I did it. And I thought, I never was interested in network marketing at all. But I thought, well, loads of people are asking me how I did it. I'm telling loads of people anyway. I might as well make some money from doing that. So it was always going to be like a side thing for me, and it ended up being my main thing. And I had a team explode in Poland, team explode in Scotland, like teams all over Europe. It was mental. And I'd go to all these massive conferences in the US and get asked to speak about my story. And yeah, it was just like, just for me, it was like lots of experience in getting on a stage and talking to like 3,000 people, you know. It was one of my favorite things I ever did, actually. But that company folded in America, and then I was like, oh no, what am I going to do now? So I literally came limping back to the UK, and yeah, was not in a great financial position whatsoever. And I was like, well, what am I going to do now? So I moved to Derby. I had 3 kids at this point, was still married, and we had about $5,000 in the bank. And I thought, oh, that'll do us for until we figure out what we want to do. And we thought it would be really easy to like find a house and get the kids into a school. And because we were both entrepreneurs, like we ran the business together, nobody would give us a house. Like we were just always like second or third with every rental property we were trying to get into. We weren't in a position to buy. And I was like, where are we going to live? And this money that we had was just like dwindling. And I ended up calling on my network, as I do, because I'm a networker. And I rang somebody that I knew in the Midlands. And I said, do you know anybody that's got a 4-bedroom house that would rent to entrepreneurs? And this guy was a painter and decorator. And he was in the house that had tenants in it for 11 years. And he said, look, the house I'm literally painting right now, the guy that owns it's an entrepreneur. I'll talk to him. Like, do you want to come look at it? So he let me in the house and showed me the house before I had even been introduced to the landlord. And he said, look, if you want it, like, I'll introduce you. And we moved in, and we had like all our furniture was in storage. We had no money to get it out. We lived for 6 weeks in this house with no furniture. Like, the kids were on Lilo beds. We had like a food budget of like 15, 20 pounds a week. And I was like, I need to start a business. And I decided I was going to start the LinkedIn like business.
Can I ask a quick question there? If you retired your husband on 5 figures a month,
yeah,
how did you have, I get that the company folded and all of a sudden your income just stopped, but how did you not have the money at that point?
Because this was a couple of years later, like it had been going downhill. Like we had not been doing as well. The company had not been doing as well. Like, and our income was tied to the, you know, to the businesses. We were being funded by the company to live in various places. That all went away. We signed a contract for a rental property in Poland, but didn't speak any Polish. And it was to get out of the contract. It was a 60,000, like, to get out of the contract. You had to pay to the end of the tenant. Like, and we had no idea. So like, there was a lot of things we had to figure out, like financially. So we did retire him. We did really well, but then there was a 18 month, 2 years. It was kind of like going down. And I was like, something's not right here. So, and I'm not very good I wasn't very good at managing money. I don't think everybody is good at managing money. And yeah, we weren't in a good financial position when we moved here.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a gap between.
Yeah.
We retired in 2014. This was 2 years later.
Okay. So you're back in Derbyshire 2016, and then you're like, shit, now what? And so
basically,
so
I remember going to B&M thinking I need to buy like a little desk so I can actually like have a space to work in. And I bought this fold up desk for $17.99. I've still got it. It's in my lounge. It reminds me every day of where I started. And I used that, had a really old MacBook. And I just thought, I'm going to have to start like a LinkedIn. I'm just going to go with the LinkedIn thing. There was nobody really like, at that time, kind of really killing it in that space, especially not female. There were quite a few male. I don't know if I can say this, pale male stale. Most of the people doing LinkedIn.
What was that?
Pale male stale.
I've never seen that before.
There were a few people, right? But it wasn't like, there was nobody you go, that's the person you go to, right? There was nobody that like put their stamp on it. So I thought, that's what I need to do. And I just got out there, did what I do all the time. Whenever I go somewhere new, I like networked like crazy, built relationships, worked 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, just put the graft in. Like, that's what you have to do. And, you know, I even had like my little son, Oscar, he's ADHD, and he even contributed as well. Like, he started a little fidget spinners business when fidget spinners came out. And like, we had people come to the house, like giving us cash for these fidget spinners. Like, he spotted the trend really early. And like, that paid for some of our food at that time. Like, we literally were just like doing everything we could as a family to like get money in. And so it was, now I look back on it, I think that was crazy, but like, that's how it started.
Wow. So that was 2016.
Did you, Mel?
So that was 2016. So we're talking 9 years ago. So what was the, because I read one of your posts a few weeks back, and you talked about losing money twice, or bankrupt twice, or being...
Yeah, so that was one of them. That was one of the situations. And then I started building the LinkedIn business up, started to get, you know, we kind of, my first goal was to just get us enough money that we could like live.
Yeah.
Did that. And then I was like, right, we need to ramp it up to this amount. Started getting up to like 3K a month. And then I was like, right, I want to be on 10K a month. Like, I want to get back to like where we were. Did that. And then I was struggling to see how I could scale beyond that, because the business was me, right? A lot of speakers, coaches, trainers, like, the business is you. So to be able to scale a business beyond that, I didn't have the know-how, knowledge, capacity to be able to do that. So I was like, I need help with that. So I went into a mastermind group. That's where I met Chris Taylor, who's now my business partner. We met in a mastermind group. Didn't have the money for it, as in like, I couldn't fund the whole thing. Like, I put some of it, like everything we were earning was going out on outgoings at the time, basically. So I was like, right, I need to get into like a community. Met a few people, met Chris, started to do really well in that community. Again, started getting on bigger stages, etc. And I found, like, somebody contacted me on LinkedIn who basically said, like, I'm looking to invest in somebody like you. Can we have a conversation? And he was an investor. He had quite a few different kind of outsourcing businesses that he wanted to have. Like, at the time, I had my speaking and training, but we were doing some outsource work for clients that wanted us to do things for them. So I went to meet him, did my due diligence, met him. He seemed like a nice guy. It seemed like he knew what he was talking about. And he was like, I want to take this business from like 10K a month to 30K a month, 50K a month, et cetera. I want to help you scale it. And I kind of needed somebody that had that capability. And I didn't know how to do it. So that was my kind of, I was like, tick. I even introduced my dad to him, because you know how much my dad has influenced my career. So I was Dad, I need you to meet this guy. I need to know that he's good, that I, you know, if I go into business with him, that, you know, that it's someone that I can work with, et cetera. So dad met him. We signed contracts. We did all of this. And about 6 months in, there were quite a few little red flags. I was like, like, I don't know if this is the right thing. Like, he started to get quite, like, he was bullying me a bit. He was making me feel really small. And he kind of took away all of the financial and operational side of the business. He was like, you just go out and do your thing, Sam. You just go out and network, and you just go out and sell. And I had a team at this point. I think we had like 10 people. And I started to get the sense that, you know, your spidey senses. I was like, something's not right here. And I remember being in a boardroom with him, and he was standing over me. He wasn't the tallest guy anyway, but he was Scottish. He was standing over me. He was pointing at me. He was like saying all this horrible stuff to me, trying to make me feel really small. And I was crying in the boardroom, and it was like a glass room, so you could see into it. And it was in a shared office space, and somebody that I knew from my networking group called Nick saw what was going on. And he kind of came and grabbed me after this meeting and finished and said, are you all right? And I said, no, I'm not actually, I don't really know what to do. So he called me down to his office, and we started to chat. He said, tell me what's going on. And this guy had started, like, he basically stopped paying myself and my husband from the business. He'd started moving some clients from one business to another business. Like, he basically had started the process of basically trying to take the business away, and cut us off financially as well. So we had no idea what to do. And I sat down with Nick, and he said, this guy's trying to do our style takeover. Like, he's trying to take this all away from me. He said, you need to get out, like, quick. So we sat down, made a plan. And over the weekend, went into the office, took all our stuff out, told him we were done. He basically hadn't been paying us for 3 months. And Nick and I just sat down. I was like, what am I going to do? Like, he's turned the whole team against me. He's taken all of our clients. And he said that this guy's literally trying to take all your IP. He's basically taken everything that you know and has extracted it, and he's now trying to build it somewhere else. So he set up a competitive business down the road and took all my team with him, and I was left with nothing again.
What an arsehole.
So so this so-called investor, so he put money into the business, came after that, and I was like, everything you gave me that money for, we've invested in you know, technology, we invested in growing the team. Like, it was all spent on the things that we were supposedly to spend it on. And he came after me again for the 25 grand.
Really?
And I was like, we managed to battle it and didn't have to do it. But yeah, I was back to square one again. I was like, I don't believe it. Like, I've got to start all over. I was like, what am I going to do? Like, literally all my clients are gone. I can't talk to any of them. Everything had gone. And this was like 2018.
So just for clarity, you were in this office with this Scottish guy who sounds like a raving narcissist and a sociopath. Why was Nick in that building?
Nick had an office in the same building. It was like a shared office space.
Right.
Nick helped me get out of. So Nick Jones, who's our CEO of Pipeline 44 and now my business partner, he helped me get out of that situation. He put his legal team on it. Like, he didn't have to do any of that. Like, he literally helped me to figure out a way out of the situation I was in. And then he had already been a client. He'd already experienced like what I do in the LinkedIn world. He'd done really well from LinkedIn. And he was already, when he first started seeing what I did, he was already thinking, I'd like to work with her. I want, because Nick's also an investor as well. And he's always looking for good opportunities, but basically he was too late. Like, someone was already working with me. So when I had the opportunity to, I thought, do you know what? Like, I need someone like Nick. Like, I almost had like a baddie and a goodie version of what you would want, a mentor and an investor. So I was like, I would like to work with you, Nick. Like, you've totally helped me. And he was like, yeah, no, let's build something together. And that's where Pipeline 44 came from, came out of that situation. Nick just happened to be in the same building. We didn't really know each other that well. We knew each other from a networking group, but that was it. And that's how Nick and I started working together.
Amazing. I didn't know much about Nick really. And I ended up on a call with him about 2 weeks ago. We were on the call for about an hour. And I just hadn't appreciated, A, how much he gives a shit about people, how giving he is. You know, he doesn't need to work, and yet here he is helping little old people like little old me. And you know, and obviously he's just got such heart, hasn't he? He saw you struggling and clearly doesn't like bullies.
Yeah, he doesn't. And that's a big reason I think why he stepped in on my situation, because he was like, that's a big thing for him. Like, he was like, he saw that guy bullying me. Yeah, and he doesn't stand for that. So he didn't have to help me. He didn't have to step in. He didn't have to, you know, do any of the things he did. But I'm so grateful that he did. Wow. And, you know, now, and, you know, I remember sitting down with him and he said, look, you're going to build this again. But he said to me, do you want to build like a lifestyle business and get back to you, you know, your 10K a month and whatever? Or do you want to build an empire that's properly scalable with product and, you know, like with team and systems? And he said, look, don't give me the answer now. He said, always sleep on a decision. So I went away and slept on it. And I came back and said, I want to build an empire. He said, right, let's do it. So that's where the whole kind of Pipeline 44 thing came about. That's what we've been building ever since, basically. So.
Okay, cool. Thank you for sharing that. I love that story. I don't love what you went through, but ultimately, when one door closes, another much amazing door opens. And so this has been building since 2018. When did Chris get involved?
It was the very end of 2018. I remember getting my first opportunity. And again, this came off of LinkedIn. I got an email the day after we'd incorporated the business. I got an email from the commercial director at Brother. And he was like, Sam, I've been following you on LinkedIn. I've been referred to you. I know a few people that know you. Can we have a conversation? I'm like, this is like day one of the business. Literally the first day that we started building. And I'm like, wow, that is the power of personal brand, because he didn't know the name of the business I was building with the other investor. Like, he knew Sam Rathling. So they can take, the investor didn't realize this, like, you can't take away a network and you can't take away a personal brand from somebody. You can take everything else. He took my team, he took my clients, took everything. He took a lot of things from me emotionally. But like that email coming in, I was like, right, now we can go. And that was the start of the new kind of the new journey. Chris and I had we're in a mastermind together at this point. We weren't working together at this point, but in order to build the empire that Nick and I kind of set out to do, we knew we needed different experts with different, different skill sets and things like that. And at the events I was speaking at, I kind of was pointing to various people and saying, like, I think we need to be, you know, considering this person. And we worked with a few different people along the way. But Chris started getting involved probably 2020. We had separate businesses under the group to begin with, and now we pulled everything together. So we were all building separate. So Chris was an Instagram guy before he came into Pipeline 44. I was LinkedIn, and we had various other people, YouTube, TikTok, etc. So Chris and I kind of were running separate businesses under the group. Mine was a LinkedIn business, his was an Instagram one, and then we amalgamated everything together. And now we're building everything under the group now. So that's kind of how it happened.
Yeah. So you've got the entrepreneur small business side, but you've also got the corporate side. So just explain to me what the different facets of the group are, the different businesses.
So at the moment, everything's building under the group. So we aren't building separate businesses anymore. So the group is the main one. There are a couple of other businesses within the group, which are, again, kind of feeding in, but that's quite a new thing. So Nick has various companies in various places, but the group itself, Pipeline 44, is what you know it as a client, essentially.
So the stuff that you're doing in the corporate world, that's completely different.
So the corporate stuff feeds into the company as well. So everything we do, all the products and services we offer, from the academy for our small businesses to the agency where people come and outsource, and the corporate work, that's all under Pipeline 44. Yeah.
Okay. And just sort of backpedaling a little bit, what do you think? And I think your dad obviously has got a lot to do with this. What do you think drove you from such a young age to want to be, you know, a business owner, an entrepreneur? Do you know?
Do I know? That's a good question. I've always had this like inner drive in me. I don't know what it is, but like I set really massive goals. And I think with the kids and everything, I want to give them everything possible. You know, for me, it's about, they're like the reason I do everything. So there's a combination of legacy, I guess, and especially as a single mom, like we separated in 2018. So it was like the whole time that the whole messy hostile takeover thing was going on. So I think as a single mom with three kids who are just like fully reliant on me, I guess the drive comes from like just wanting to be successful, like from a young age. But even more as I've got older, I'm like 46 now with, you know, three kids between the ages of 10 and 16, like for me, I want them to look at their mom and go like, she worked hard, like she did everything for us, you know what I mean? So it's like this whole drive is now about the kids, but earlier on probably would have been about just, I was surrounding myself with lots of kind of books and following lots of like successful entrepreneurs, and I've always had this like drive to be really successful. It's not necessarily about money, it's more about freedom and opportunities and travel and like all the things that money gives you. It's not about making money necessarily. It's about, for me, it's about having options. And dad had a decent job growing up, like, but I know he always struggled. Like he was always, you know, wasn't struggling. We weren't poor or anything, like a middle class family, but you know, he always worked really hard to be able to give us holidays that we wanted and life experiences we wanted. And I just want the same for my kids. I want to be able to show them the world. I want to be able to give them everything, every opportunity that they could possibly have. So I'm not really sure where it comes from. I know my dad's mom was very, like, she was a boss lady. She was like my inspiration. She was amazing. But she was always very driven. So I think it's just in the blood.
And how do you, and I get that because I'm the same, I don't know where it comes from. I have this immense sense of responsibility towards everybody, but including my parents, because they didn't have much money and, you know, we weren't middle class, we were working class. And so I think I've always had this drive to, you know, that's me anyway, to help people. But in doing that, in being ambitious as a single mom, and this is what, you know, my program that I'm launching at the moment is heavily centered on. It's this guilt, you know, as a parent, you feel guilt because you're not spending enough time with the kids, or you're not spending enough time with your husband or whatever, you know, and we tell ourselves, and this is where it's an interesting question for different people. We tell ourselves we're doing it for the kids, and yet the kids might sit there and say, yeah, but you're never home. So who are you doing it for? You know, so how do you sort of reconcile all of that?
Well, I am home all the time since COVID.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID, I'd have been away 50% of the time. Like, if I had to do that now, it just wouldn't work. Like, and I would feel really guilty. But, you know, I now spend the majority of my time, like, this office is in my house. I have the kids 24/7. They don't really see their dad that much. So I am fully responsible for them all the time, which I love. And the fact that I can do my job now from anywhere with them, you know, makes me have less of that guilt, I guess. I still work a lot of hours, but I've definitely reprioritized how many hours I work now that I have a team. It's not just me on my own. You know, I have an amazing team in place. I'm doing the bits of the role that I really love. Like, a lot of people say to me, oh, I couldn't do what you do. Like, I don't want to build a bigger business because I don't like managing people. And I'm like, I don't manage anyone. Like, I have a team, but I'm not the manager of that team. So I know I'm not good at the people management. I'm good at mentoring. I'm good at, you know, inspiring people, but I'm not good at the day-to-day management of people. Therefore, I never wanted to have anybody like reporting to me. I don't want to do one-to-ones and like manage all the HR stuff. Like, that's just not what I enjoy. So it is possible to build and scale a business with the team and all of that stuff without having to do that role. So I just pick out the things that I love to do, I'm really good at, and I love doing, and that's what I focus on. So my role in the business is primarily revenue generation and sales, which I love, done it for years, delivering corporate training and delivering, you know, speaking and pulling leads into the business and building my brand. I don't do anything else that I don't enjoy. Like, I don't get involved in systems, process, operations, finance, HR, legal, like all of that stuff is taken care of by other people in the business. And I can just focus on what I love, which means that I can work around the children. So, you know, 2 years ago, I was like, I need to be doing the school run. I need to be working between 9 and 3. I don't want to be doing 20-hour days anymore. And luckily, I don't need to do that anymore. I do occasionally put in, you know, the odd like 13, 14-hour day. But primarily now, I feel like I can organize my time in a way that the kids come first and then I fit work around it rather than the other way around. So I have gone through many years of like mum guilt and feeling guilty if I wasn't doing enough for the business, feeling guilty if I was doing too much for the business, not enough for the kids. But I feel like I've got to a place now where the balance is really good. And I've got a much, much, much better relationship with my children than I ever have because I largely put that down to my sobriety journey as well. Like, I was, you know, I gave up alcohol on the 31st of December, 2022. And I'd had a really rough year with the kids, like a couple of years, really, like very challenging, lots of emotion, lots of, you know, just they were just off the rails, basically. And I was like, why are they off the rails? And I thought, you know what, I've lost control. And I feel like I need to get back in control. And that was part of the reason for my kind of decision around stopping drinking, because I was using that as a leverage, not a leverage. I was drinking, you know, not loads, but like, yeah, you know, I was drinking to excess when I was with my friends because it was a release. Yeah. But then I was also finding myself drinking because I'd had a long day or I'd had a stressful day or the kids were winding me up or something. And I thought something's got to shift. And I had a very big event happen with the children, which was horrific. And something happened when we were away on holiday and it was related to my eldest son. And I came back from, we were in Bali, basically. I don't know if I'm oversharing here, but anyway, we had gone to Bali on holiday and my son, in his wisdom, decided to offer our house when we were away to his friends for a party, and gave them access to the house, gave them the key safe number, not to my knowledge. And I got a phone call from the police 3 days into our holiday in Bali at 3 a.m. saying, your house has basically been like trashed. And I was like, how has this even happened? And I found out that, you know, my son had let them in. And the group that he had let in hadn't really done very much, but one of them decided to let the entire neighborhood know that my house was open. And they did about $5,500 worth of damage.
Yeah.
It was a crime scene when I got back, and I was like, what is going on in my world? Like, what is happening? Like, I need to pull this in. And when I got the phone call from the police to say there's nothing we can do, I just broke down in tears. Like, I felt totally violated that this had happened. There was about 27 people in my house, drugs everywhere. Like, it was just awful. And I thought, something's got to change. And I made that decision, like, on the spot, that I was going to quit drinking. And I don't know where it came from. Like, I don't know how I linked the two of those things together, but I just thought, I've got to get control. Like, because it's like, this event kind of was like a crescendo of a whole bunch of other stuff that led up to it. And I thought, I've lost control of this whole situation and I need to gain control.
Wow. Wow, what a horrible thing to experience. I can
only... As you say, opportunities come from every everything that you go through.
Well, yeah, and I can understand that, the whole control thing, because obviously when we are drinking, we're not in control, are we? Certainly not as much as we can be. I just imagine the conversation you had with your son when that happened.
Imagine on holiday, I'm 3 a.m. and I'm like, Oscar. It was challenging, and I couldn't do anything about it because I was like thousands of miles away the other side of the, you know, other than talk to him a lot. I mean, he learned a lot from the whole thing. Like, he's obviously changed his friend group and he's realized who he can and can't trust, and lots of lessons for him as well. But yeah, since I stopped drinking, like, I feel much more emotionally regulated. Like, I'm very calm about everything. And we talk a lot, and the relationship now with him and the other children is just amazing. So yeah, I feel like that has repaired a lot of stuff.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, as I say, no, not at all. I love stories, you know, people sharing stories like that, because it shows, you know, like, even the most put together, like, you know, people see Sam Rathling, the brand and all the rest of it, and think you've got it sorted, and nobody's got it sorted. We've all got
our shit. Nobody has.
We've all got our shit to deal with.
We definitely do. And, you know, there's a lot that people don't see. Like, a lot of people think, oh, it's all right for her because she's, you know, blah, 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 she's built this business, or it's all right for her because she's got this brand, or it's all right for her because she's got it together. Like, I really don't. Like, no more than anybody else. Like, I have got my world kind of in a good place now. Like, I feel like I'm probably in the best place I have been in the last 5 years, certainly since the last kind of big challenging thing I went through. Like, feel like, you know, the business is in a really good place. I'm in a really good place. The kids are in a really good place. And I feel like I've come out the other side of like this just roller coaster journey over the last number of years. And yeah, I think my sobriety has massively helped with that. Like, I'm 10 months in, and it was the best decision I've ever made.
Wow. Yeah, I need to put my big girl pants on and do it myself. I'm about to hit a big birthday in a few weeks. And so I know October ain't going to happen. But I have been thinking about after that. So before I ask you about your book and I'd like you to share how you can, you know, anyone that's listening, like an entrepreneur or small business or whatever, how you can help them. Where's the blue butterfly come from?
So,
For context, listeners, it's on your brand, and she's got a butterfly behind her. She's got a butterfly on a necklace.
And look.
Oh, and tattoos. There we go.
So after the hostile take, or when I had the hostile takeover I've had in 2018, I was in this mastermind group, as I said, and the leader of the mastermind group said to me, I want you to share your story about how you've built your business on stage. And it was a massive event in Wembley. It's called Expert Empires, 500 people in the room. And he asked me pre the hostile takeover to do my kind of story. So I said yes to doing it. And the hostile takeover happened. I lost everything. And then I was like, how can I get up on stage and talk about like building a successful business, blah, blah. And he was like, he said to me, it's 8 weeks away. Go build it again, faster, stronger, better, etc. And then go up and share your story. So I got up on stage.
No pressure.
No pressure whatsoever. And I did that. And then he was like, that was amazing. Like, you're the best speaker at the event. Do it. Like, he asked me again another time. And I thought, do you know what? Like, my spirit, my grandparents, especially my nan, my dad's mum, we've always said, like, since she passed, like, that every time we see a white butterfly, like, she's like, that's her, like, that's her spirit animal. So butterflies have always been like a big part of my world, and butterflies represent my nan. My granddad then was, as I was about to go up and speak again, my granddad was on his deathbed. Like, he was a few days away from passing. He passed away like 3 days after that event. And I got this opportunity to speak on stage again. I thought, I'm going to dedicate this whole presentation to my grandparents. And I started researching butterflies, and I started thinking there must be a way for me to tie in the journey of an entrepreneur with the whole metamorphosis and transformation. Mm. So my best keynote ever, sorry, was me speaking. I did a presentation, a keynote called The Butterfly Effect. And I think if you look at the journey of an entrepreneur, like the startup micro business, you know, solopreneur, like me in 2016, is this like tiny little egg on a leaf that's like brand new and doesn't really know what it's doing. And it's just like being born. And that is how a lot of like start, like, first you're a business, you're like this little egg and you don't really know what you're doing. And you're just kind of like on your own, and it's a very lonely place to be. And then you turn from an egg into a caterpillar. And I always used to love reading the story of the Hungry Caterpillar to my children. And I'm like, that's what like an early stage entrepreneur is. Like, they're just consuming all this stuff, podcasts, books. Like, I remember reading like a book a week for a year, like business success. Like, they're just like consuming all this stuff. So the next stage is like that Hungry Caterpillar, kind of 1 to 3 years in business. And then you have the cocoon stage, right? And I related the cocoon stage in my journey to the time that I had the hostile takeover happen. And everybody goes through this, like, everybody hits adversity, everybody hits this dark place, but it's in the dark places that the transformation happens. Like, that's where the big deep work happens to change somebody. And then out the other side, you become this, you know, amazing butterfly who is transformed and, you know, is just amazing. But the most incredible thing about the butterfly is they can't see their own wings. Like, they are one of the most beautiful animals on the planet, and they have no idea how amazing they are and how stunning they are and how brilliant they are. And I feel like that's how most business owners are. Like, they don't see themselves the way other people see them. So most people are building a business, slogging it away, working hard, and yet they don't see how flipping awesome they are. And I kind of did this whole presentation around that and dedicated the whole thing to my grandparents. And I feel like that has been my journey. Like, I've been through all of those stages multiple times, the egg, the hungry caterpillar. I've definitely done the cocoon and the dark place thing quite a few times, as you've heard. But now I do really feel like I'm that, you know, in that butterfly stage of like, okay, I've got a lot more things sorted than I had. But also, I now see my own wings, and I didn't see my own wings for a long time. So the butterfly part of my brand is largely down to that kind of phase. And that it's up on my YouTube channel if anyone wants to watch it. It's called The Butterfly Effect. If you want to go and see kind of my journey and how I talk about this whole metamorphosis. But that the butterflies is down to that. So these on my arm, my tattoos are my grandparents, one for each. And I've always had the butterfly thing as like part of my personal brand since that day, really. So
I love that. Thank you so much. I've been intrigued with the butterflies. I mean, I love butterflies, but I haven't got the same connection that you've got. So thank you for that. So anyone listening that is a small business or an entrepreneur or a budding coach or, you know, something, or maybe doesn't even know what it is that they want to do, just knows they want to do something. How is it that Pipeline 44 can help those people?
Well, I think, you know, anyone that wants to build their business, generate, you know, noise and traffic around their brand, which, you know, if you're going to go and build a business or change career or whatever it is you're planning to do, You need to have a network, you need to have relationships, and you need to have a personal brand that people are going to relate to. So in terms of Pipeline 44, that's ultimately what we help people to do within the LinkedIn environment specifically, but also other platforms as well. But it's not just about understanding how the platform works, which is what I teach. It's more about having a process in your business that helps you with your sales and marketing. And that's ultimately what we help our clients with. So whether they're just starting out and they have no idea what they're doing, or they are a more established business that, you know, is looking for kind of the gaps to fill in the missing gaps of their process, like that's really what we help people do. I'm certainly, between the three of us, me, Chris and Nick, Nick is definitely like kind of the business strategist. He can help companies to scale. Chris is the digital marketing and process guy. Like he understands inside out, like how processes work and how sales and marketing and digital marketing can kind of feed into that. And I bring the kind of the platform specialism in terms of the LinkedIn, being kind of the LinkedIn queen, the LinkedIn encyclopedia. So as a three, like we can help people with their business growth, we can help people with their sales and marketing processes, and we can help people understand the platform. And I think that's quite unique in the world of kind of, there's lots of people out there who will claim that they can help you grow your business. Many of them will charge you thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds a year to do so. We believe in bringing that knowledge like to the masses at a very affordable price. Because for us, it's not, you know, what we do in the academy and what we do at the small business end is not about, that's not where we make the most of our money. That's a passion project for us. Like me, Chris, have been through like lots of expensive masterminds. We've been through multiple experts saying this is how we can help you. And there's lots of crappy advice out there. And we don't believe in giving crappy advice. We believe in bringing real truth and telling people what they need to do and understand, you know, to get results in their business. And, you know, Nick doesn't need to spend all his time building this with us, like, but he wants to because he wants to give back to, you know, companies. Like when he found me and Chris, like we didn't have any clue what we were doing. And now we're just like sharing that with as many businesses as possible.
Amazing. And I can completely concur with all that. And I think from one of your customers' perspectives, for me, you know, I've been on this journey for a long time, 20 odd years of trying to create my own thing, but having huge imposter syndrome along the way, really. And like you say, not being able to see your own wings. And I think, and I've spent a lot of money on different things. And for me, what this has given me is I know all of this stuff, right? I've invested a lot of money in online marketing platform and this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. I've been in sales for over 20 years, but selling yourself is a whole different ballgame. It is in my world anyway. Mm-hmm. And but having the backing of you guys, the expertise, the community that you're building, the processes, the tried and tested, we know it's tried and tested because it's working for lots of people. It's worked for you guys. And having the support and the feedback and being able to change and tweak and change and tweak until you've got something that's, because like you said, there's so many people out there teaching stuff like this and you think, right, okay, got it. And then you go off and you don't get any clients or you don't get much traction, you know, and it's soul destroying. Whereas with Pipeline 44, you know, you've got this process and it's like, we're not going to let you sink. If it doesn't work, come back and we'll sort it. If it doesn't work, come back again. And we'll, you know what I mean? And it's, and then, you know, just the community, you know, I've made some friendships already in the community and people that are willing to help because everybody's on a similar journey, just at different stages.
Yeah, we've got like over 300 people now in the community, which is amazing. You know, we've got our Slack community and, you know, lots of people make friendships and, you know, bond with each other and, you know, business happens between people as well. You know, we know that happens too. But I think it's that, I think the thing that makes the difference is the support, the high level of support and the accountability, which, you know, I've never had an experience when I've gone and worked with people. You know, they've just said, oh yeah, do this or learn this. And then they've just let you go off and do it. And then, as you say, you don't get that feedback and constant review and constant support. And that's the thing that we like really, really differentiate ourselves on is like how much we care about people getting results.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we finish, tell me a little bit about your books, because I've yet to read. So I downloaded, I'm just looking at the books behind you. They both say the same. So
yeah, my other one I took to MasterCard on Wednesday, so it's in a suitcase upstairs.
Okay. So we've got Linked Inbound and Linked Outbound. So what are those books about? Why is somebody going to read those books?
So Linked Inbound is literally the one that I would recommend if you know nothing about LinkedIn or very little about LinkedIn and you're kind of in the early part of your journey. I would go Linked Inbound is the one that you need. It will help you with building your personal brand, putting your profile together, understanding who your ideal client is, kind of understanding like the basic fundamentals of like what you need to do within the LinkedIn environment to start getting traction. The outbound one is more focused on, right, I know LinkedIn, I maybe have got Sales Navigator. Maybe it's that you're in much more kind of that business development sales kind of focus. It's much more about prospecting and outreach at scale and is kind of aimed more at salespeople, sales leaders, and business owners who have sales as part of their responsibility in their business. So Linked Out, I would definitely, if you're going to pick one of them and you don't know anything about LinkedIn, go with Linked Inbound. Once you've started to get more traction on the platform, I would go then with Outbound. They both kind of, they're not the same, like they are different, but there's two ways you get business on LinkedIn. Ultimately, one is by getting inbound leads, which is where people come to you because you've built your brand, because you've built your network, because you are who you are. And the second way you get business is by going outward, which is where you're prospecting and you're outreaching to people that you don't know. And there are definitely ways not to do that. And there are ways to actually do that. And that's what Outbound addresses. So they kind of feed each other and they're kind of a sequel and a prequel to each other. So as a pair, they're like everything you need to know about LinkedIn, social selling, Sales Navigator, but you don't need Sales Navigator in order to be successful on LinkedIn. But a lot of people choose to move up to that once they've kind of got the basics right. So,
yeah. Okay, cool.
They're both at the minute, and for a short while, hopefully when the podcast comes out, they're both 99p on Kindle right now.
Okay, so I've got Outbound, so I'll grab Inbound as well, even though I feel like I know it enough now.
I'll send you a copy, Mel, as a thank you for being on the show. I'll send you this copy right here, and I will sign it for you, so send me your address, and I will send it.
Oh, lovely, thank you.
You're a client. So that one I'll send you.
Okay, cool. And if anybody listening completely resonates with you, wants to know more about you, wants to get in touch with you, where's the best place for them?
Well, funny enough, I would connect with me on LinkedIn. And obviously when you do connect with me, like send me a message and say, I heard you on Mel's Never Settle podcast, so that I know, because I get a lot of inbound connection requests. I get my inbox is crazy like every day. So please feel free to share that you heard me on the show and let's connect.
Perfect. Sam, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on and understand more about your story. I am so inspired by you, truly. You are, you know, I see a lot of me in you, but you've done a lot more success-wise, money-wise than I have. But I've been on a whole different journey anyway, so which is a whole other podcast. But I like to leave these conversations with anything you feel called to share before you go.
Oh, wow. I think in relation to the comment you just made, don't compare yourself to others, because everyone is on their same path. Everyone's on their same journey. And I think that if you try and compare yourself to others, it just doesn't do well for you mindset wise. And you don't know what that person's been through, where they've come from, what they're going through. So just do you and be authentically you online, offline. And, you know, and that's where you'll find success.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, thank you again. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on. I'd love to get to know more about you and your story. And I wish you, not that you need this, but I wish you every success, because I know you've got it anyway. But I know you're just going to continue to thrive. So thank you.
Thanks for having me, Mel. And thank you everyone for listening.
If you enjoyed that conversation or were inspired in any way, please, please leave me a review on iTunes. It's the best way for other people to find my podcast and be inspired themselves. If you'd like to know more about me and my coaching, you can find me at melclarkcoaching.com, Clark with an E on the end, or email me at mel@melclarkcoaching.com.